history of the various movements that arose in the 19th century, some bad, some good. The bad, reform, Haskalah, especially Haskalah. Haskalah in many ways. It was interesting. Haskalah, okay, I'll get it, but in Europe, per se, Haskalah was mazik more religious Jews than even the Reform. Good, Musar, Yeshiva, Hasidus, we'll put it in the middle, Yesh Darshan L'Shvach, Yesh Darshan L'Gnai, but okay. And I think the last thing we were talking about, we just began talking about Rav Chaim Volozhiner being Miyasid, a Yeshiva. And this was the Yeshiva of Volozhin, that goes by the name Eim HaYeshivas. So a few ha'aris. People like to say Volozhin was this was 1808, the early 19th century. People say Volozhin was the first yeshiva. So you have to understand what that means. Avada Volozhin was not the first. First of all, you had yeshivas in the time of Chazal. You had Surah and Pumbedisa, right? And Chassam Sofer had yeshiva, and Rabbi Akiva Eiger had a yeshiva. This is all before Rav Chaim Volozhin. Right, so in what way do we mean when we say Volozhin is the first yeshiva? So it means that Volozhin, in many ways, instead of being most of the yeshivas, even those of great gedolim, were local batei medrash, where people would come locally from the community. Volozhin was an international yeshiva. Volozhin, of course, I don't know if any Americans came to Volozhin. The United States was very early in those days, Volozhin attracted Talmidim from all of Europe, and it was Rav Chaim Volozhiner's idea that we should get the Mitzuyanim, we should get Iluyim, we should get Lamdanim, we should get people who were very knowledgeable. And in many, many ways, this was a response to Haskalah, because the big challenge of Haskalah is smart Yiddish cup, right? Another thing about it, I'll tell you a little joke about a Yiddish cup, a Geish cup. You say a maisa about a person who was Geshmad, Rahman Uthlan. He decided to become a Goy. The next morning, he puts on tefillin, because that's what he always did. So his wife says, "How can you put on tefillin? You know, you became a guy." So he hits himself, says, "Oh, I already have a geisha cup, I don't remember." But anyway, but the thing is that the big challenge of Haskalah was largely its intellectual challenge. That we can learn philosophy, science, medicine, law. And as opposed to learning, they thought they didn't see they didn't see the Iluyishkeit in learning. They didn't see the Chachma. They didn't see the Amkus. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner wanted to create where you had the best minds, the smartest guys. It was not a popular institution. It wasn't a Kirov institution. It wasn't like you take beginners. That was important, but that was not what Volozhin was. It was to take the best Mitzuyanim, who might have a Yetzer Hara towards Haskalah, and show them the Amkus of Torah, the Mesikus of Torah, the Godless of Torah. And Mimela, in that sense, Volozhin was an international center of what you might call, to use more modern terms, the best and the brightest of Jewish kids. In fact, Volozhin sent out, Lahavdil, it's very similar in sports. Those of you that may remember from a prior life something about sports, I actually don't know anything about sports, even in my prior life, but they actually have, major leagues actually have these scouts that go to high schools throughout the United States to see some high school kid, who hits the ball good, and he tries to recruit him. Well, Volozhin had these spies. Volozhin would send out Meshulachim all over Europe, kind of just go to the local base medrash. They see a smart fourth grader. No, they would keep their eye on him. They wouldn't take him to Volozhin at fourth grade, but they would remember, and they would arrange that this is an Iluyisha cup that we're going to get. So really, Volozhin was looking for smart people, and in that sense, it was the first international. In the time of the Gaonim there weren't, but for many, many hundreds of years, it was the first international yeshiva. It emphasized Mitzuyanim. It emphasized Amkus. It did not emphasize Halacha L'maisa, which is kind of what we have in yeshiva today, where we don't emphasize Halacha L'maisa that much. And even the concept of Siddurim and Bekiyas and Ion, that type of thing was developed in Volozhin. Certain types of Sfarim, which are special in their Amkus, were emphasized at the expense of other Sfarim that were more Bederech HaPilpel. Now, this is a little bit of a difficult thing to understand. We use the word Pilpel as, learning Be'in, but that technically Pilpel had a technical meaning. Pilpel was a type of reasoning that was popular in Dairis before the Gra, in particular, which tried to create artificial connections between things based on ingenuity but not based on truly understanding the Yesod. It's kind of an artificial binyan labinyan. You connect this to that, to that, to that, to that, based on a similar word, right, a similar linguistic connection. But conceptually, it was very, very different. Now, the Gra was a great, great misnaged to Pilpul, because the Gra felt you have to understand the Yesod of Pshat and then work it out, as opposed to making artificial connections. Pilpul took a lot of ingenuity, but it was not based necessarily on true emistic asvar. I'm not sure if I'm making this clear. Now, there were certain expositors of Pilpul who also were very deep in svara. Among them were the Knight of Yehuda and the like. But there was also much Pilpul that was falsh. And we even see in the writings of the Maharal, the Maharal was 200 years before Rav Chaim Volozhiner, where the Maharal was very, very critical of the Derech HaPilpul, because it prevented people from a Yediyas HaTorah. But the one who really vanquished Pilpul as a predominant Derech HaLimud was in fact the Gra. And Rav Chaim Volozhiner's Derech was a miyusan on the Gra. And in the yeshiva world, they emphasized that, quite properly so. But as a result, certain svarim became favored in the yeshiva world, and certain svarim did not become favored. Now, I'm not going to mention the ones that are not become favored. That would be a little Lashon Hara. But for example, when you list the svarim that are the yeshivish svarim that are very, very choshev in the yeshiva world. So you have the Ketzais HaChoshen, you have the Nesivas HaMishpat, you have the Pnei Yoshua, you have Rabbi Akiva Eger. Right? These are kind of the big ones. And if you look at them, they're very, very based on a very deep analytical understanding of the Teichet. There were other svarim that were very iluyish. They made all sorts of connections, but the connections were kind of artificial. So as a result, this was what Volozhin established. Now, there's an interesting legend, and I think they actually say it might be true. Like Rabbi Wein sometimes says, someone asks him if all his stories that he tells are true. So he says, they're all true, but some haven't happened yet. But they say that Rav Chaim Volozhiner's son was himself a great gadol. He became the Rosh Yeshiva Volozhin. This is Rav Yitzchak Mivolozhin. In fact, if you ever learned Nefesh HaChaim, which is Rav Chaim Volozhiner's sefer on Hashgafa, in Shar Aleph, there is a Haggah that's like 50 pages. A long Haggah. And that is from Rav Yitzchak of Volozhin, who wrote a Haggah, a huge Haggah on the Nefesh HaChaim. But be it as it may, Rav Yitzchak of Volozhin was a very intellectual person. And he had a great desire to learn languages and go to medical school. This was Rav Yitzchak of Volozhin. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner was a bit of a panic, because not only because his son would be leaving Torah, but in those days, there was a real risk, more so than even today, that if he went to a secular university, he might become not frum. That happened. So he goes to the Gra, and the Gra kind of says, what do I do? So the Gra said, well, start a yeshiva and make him ahead of the yeshiva. That way he has to stick around. So the story goes that at the foundation of the Volozhiner Yeshiva, at the cornerstone, Rav Chaim Volozhin said, this is going to keep my son Rav Yitzchak in Torah. So, in many ways, the whole Yeshiva Volozhin, according to this, was to save, to be matzil, Rav Yitzchak Volozhiner. But the truth of the matter is, I would take this an old shtickle non-literal. Meaning, what Rav Chaim Volozhiner is saying is actually a deeper point. The pshat is not just to save my son, but to save everybody that's like my son. In other words, the brilliant, bright, intelligent person that was nimshach to secular studies will find that chokhma in Torah. So it's a profound remark. In other words, the whole yeshiva was keneged this haskalah. And the second aspect of Volozhin, however, is it was also a response to Hasidus that came from the other way around. The Hasidic movement started already in the lifetime of the Gra, the 1700s, the Baal Shem Tov. And the Baal Shem Tov was succeeded by the Mezeritcher Magid, Rav Dov Ber of Mezeritch. And the truth of the matter is, the real founder of Hasidus as a movement was not the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov had a few Talmidim. The organizer of Hasidus was actually the Mezeritcher Magid, who was a phenomenal organizer. and he had hundreds of Talmidim, and he sent them out in different places. For example, the Mezuritcher's Talmidim included the Bava Tanya, Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev, and a famous Gedalei Chassidus, Rabbi Elimelech of Lezhensk. These were all the Talmidim of the Magid of Mezuritch, as it were. So, as you know, Chassidus created a lot of controversy at the end of the 1700s and the first decades of the 1800s. And one of the great misnagdim to Chassidus was none other than the Gadol Hador, which was the Vilna Gaon. And the parsha of the Graz Hisnagdus to Chassidus, I'm going to talk about it a little bit, it's not my main thing for tonight, is something that's worthy to think about a little bit. People don't like to write about it. In fact, a lot of the biographies of the Gra just skip the Inyan because they consider it Lashon Hara, and also the fact that so many B'nai Torah are in fact Hasidus, you know, so why do we need to rehash, you know, various tainus? But I do want to talk about it a little bit just so you know what's going on. And here's the following. What was the site of the Hisnagdus of the Gra to Chassidus? What exactly did the Gra have a problem with Chassidus? So let's start the other way around. Why did the Baal Shem Tov and the Maggid start a group which became known as Chassidim, or Mevakshei Hashem was another title that they had? Like, what was the purpose? What was the Baal Shem Tov trying to accomplish by what he did? Yeah.
I guess for all the Pasha Yidin who weren't Iluyim, needed
as well. Okay, so the truth of the matter is there are a lot of different things. One of the ideas is exactly as you said, that there was a feeling that there were Yidden who were not Talmidei Chachamim, there were Yidden who were not capable of learning. Many of them felt inferior, many of them felt depressed. Of course, they were poor, everybody was poor, but they didn't feel they had a kesher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes there were cases where Talmidei Chachamim not properly looked down and were mevazeh to Hamaynam. There was that also. I mean, the people sometimes, even the Talmidei Chachamim is not always Nayheg Keshura. So Chassidus was started as a way to emphasize something that even people who were not Gedolei Torah could feel a hiskarvus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that was one inyan. On the other hand, it was pointed out there's a little bit of a Tarti de Sasri in Chassidus. Because on one hand, you're telling me Chassidus is designed to make even the Pashut Yid feel Chashuv. And yet, Chassidus created the idea of the Rebbe who's above everybody. You see, in the Misnagdisha world, becoming a Gadol was theoretically within everybody's koach. Everybody could sit and learn. You could become. In other words, it wasn't like somebody was chosen. So there's a little bit of a Tarti de Sasri. On one hand, Chassidus was supposed to be a democratic movement. On the other hand, there was the great Rebbe who was the intermediary with everything. But that's one idea. Now, the way they fanfared it was, well, you, Pasha Yid, achieve your aliyah by being mechaber yourself to the Rebbe that will pull you up. That was kind of the teretz. So that's one idea. We might call it, I'm going to use, you know, maybe secular terms, but it fits, kind of the democratization of a kesher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course, we have one example of the Torah of somebody who made this argument of democratization, and that is none other than Korach. Ki kol ha'eda, kulam kadeshim, who needs a Moshe Rabbeinu? Everybody is holy, everybody's equal. In fact, they tell the story just to show how far this lack of title came. Rebbe Kiv Eger's grandson became a chassid, became a Talmud of the Kutzker Rebbe, Rebbe Leibel Eger. And Rebbe Kiv Eger was distraught. For Rebbe Kiv Eger, this was a big, big tragedy. So he sent Shaluchim to reclaim his grandson. So the Shamish came, and the Shamish says, I have a shlichus from the Gain HaTzadik, the Pe'er Hador, Harav Rebbe Kiv Eger of Posen. Kind of made a big announcement. So among Kutsk, they don't use titles. They says, we don't know anybody. We don't know any grandson of Harav Hagon, you know, of Posen. We don't know that. So finally somebody said, oh, you mean Akiva Zeinuko? Yeah, Akiva Zeinuko's over there. They didn't go with any titles at all. But okay. The second idea was that sometimes people were doing mitzvos without a panemius. They were going through things superficially. They were keeping the halachas bediktuk, but they didn't do it with ava and yira and passion and devekus. And part of Chassidus was designed to give you what is called a panemius avaida, in which you don't just focus on the external pa'ula, but you focus on the panemius. Now, one example of this is that Chassidus introduced, now this might sound like a tiny little thing, but this was a big, big controversy at the time. Chassidus introduced this meditation that we have before many mitzvahs of L'Shem Yichud. Right? A lot of Siddurim say, before Sefiras HaOmer, L'Shem Yichud, Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now that means to unify HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Ava and the Yira that I bring to a mitzvah. Many of the Gedolim who were non-Chassidim were absolutely against the Shem Yichud. The Nadi Yehuda wrote a whole big tshuva that only a mukubal, only a tzaddik who mastered Kabbalah should get connected to the Shem Yichud. It's not for the Hamonam. But Chassidus taught that every person should strive for devekus, cleaving to Hashem, penimiyas o'avayda, avas Hashem, yiras Hashem. And one shouldn't spend so much time on the maisa. One should spend time on the kavana and the hachana. Right? Yeah.
Can Chassidus have anything to do with the haskala?
Okay. Chassidus may have been connected as an opposition to haskala. In other words, Chassidus did not work with the haskala for sure. In fact, haskala absolutely hated Chassidus. They hated Chassidus with a passion, much more so than the misnagdim like the Gra. Because Chassidus was everything they wanted to get away with. They wanted to get away from. They wanted to modernize. They wanted to dress like the European gentleman. They wanted secular education. They wanted to bring Jews. So for example, a maskil felt much more comfortable in the Volozhiner yeshiva than he would in the Chassidus Atish. Because Volozhiner yeshiva, you know, it was intellectual, it was ideas. So Chassidim and Maskilim bitterly hated each other.
Did the Chassidus happen prior to the Haskalah, or?
It happened around the same time, and one might look at Chassidus as also a response to Haskalah. In other words, what I would say is the following. Let's look at Chassidus for a moment, Yeshiva and Musar, as three responses to Haskalah. Because like this, Haskalah, number one, posed an intellectual challenge to Torah, and that was addressed by the yeshiva. Another taina Haskalah had was that Yidden had become uncivil. They had become uncouth. They didn't have derech eretz. They didn't have manners, even though that sounds like a small thing. And Haskalah wanted to become more cultured and more derech eretz. So that was addressed by Musar. And finally, one says that the attraction to Haskalah was because people lacked fervor in their Avodas Hashem, so Chassidus might have thought by making people more fervent in their Avodas Hashem. So in that way you can look at Yeshiva dealing with the intellectual problem of Haskalah, Musar dealing with the interpersonal issue of Haskalah, and Chassidus dealing with the lack of religious passion. On the other hand, I would say Chassidus was not at all successful in getting people away from Haskalah, because the people who were attracted to Haskalah were not attracted to Chassidus. In other words, it's almost mutually exclusive populations. See, people who were attracted to Haskalah could be attracted to Yeshiva. So Volozhin did save people from Haskalah. It's not likely that Chassidus saved anybody from Haskalah, because the people who had that Yetzer Hara for Haskalah were not attracted to Chassidus. And in fact, the enmity between Maskilim and Chassidim was very intense. Each side was always calling the government in to arrest the other side. The Maskilim were calling, particularly in Galicia, which was Poland, where Chassidus was strongest. I mean, they were always, every time a Chassidus shtibel opened up, the Maskilim would call the police and, you know, shut them down. And the Chassidim did the same thing, you know, to the Maskilim. So there are books written on the enmity. Okay. But you are correct, at least on some level, Chassidus is connected to Haskalah. So we have identified, let's say, again, I'm obviously simplifying this, I'm not a tremendous bucky either, but Chassidus was about Achdus, Avas Yisrael, the democratization of every Yid feeling he has a chelek in his relationship to Hashem. an emphasis on pnimiyas avoda, not just chitzaynias, an emphasis on tefillah b'kavana, maybe over Torah learning, etc. These were the inyanim of Hasidus. In addition, they had some other things. They very much believed in simcha. Now you might say, well, who doesn't believe in simcha? If there was Hashem b'simcha. But they elevated simcha to almost an end in itself. The famous song of Rav Nachman, he didn't write the song, but the words, mitzvah gedayla liyos b'simcha tamid. Right, which we sing, mitzvah gedayla liyos b'simcha, was a chassid, although the truth is Rav Nachman was very depressed very much of the time, but he thought mitzvah gedayla liyos b'simcha tamid. Now that's good. To feel simcha is a wonderful thing, but this simcha manifests itself in certain things like fabrengens and parties and drinking and other things. Now, and it also meant that Hasidim started their separate minyanim, separate shuls, separate shtibles as we call them, and they were mishana the nusach hatfila, because the nusach hatfila in Poland and in Lithuania was nusach Ashkenaz. And because Hasidus was so connected to Kabbalah, they looked at the Nusach Ari, which was Nusach Svarad, right? Svardic, in some ways. And that's also a taina of Lo Siskei to do, of not making machlokes, not creating new nuschos. Now today, since we have a million nuschos, we don't have that problem. But I mean, in those days, if you were in Poland, you'd daven Nusach Ashkenaz. That's all there was. And Hasidus changed that. Now, so why was the Gra such a misnagid? So there were a lot of reasons why the Gra was misnagid. There are avada, many nekudas in Hasidus that are very good. Of course every yid has a kesher to HaKadosh Baruch. Of course you serve Hashem with Ava and Yira. Of course there should be simcha in Avedas Hashem. That's not objectionable. That's not a taina. But the Gra had a number of fears in what was going on. Number one, he had a fear, and it's not just him, but he was the leader, but he had a fear that by emphasizing that every single yid, is just as good as everybody else, the democratization, he felt there could potentially be a zilzal in the chashivas of Limud HaTorah. Because you're no longer saying the Talmud Chacham is the greatest thing to be. A person might say, why do I have to learn Gemara, Rashi, and Taisa? Why do I have to shteig? If I do nothing, I'm just as good as every other yid. Right? So the Gra felt there was a bizoyan in Kavod HaTorah, and even in Limud HaTorah, as a result, number one. Number two, the Gra felt that the emphasis on penimius, as important as it is, might mean that a person might think the chitzenius is not important. So the example would be, in fact, the Gra was aimed on the fact that in the early years of Hasidus, they did not daven bizman, they didn't make zman kriya shema, they didn't make zman tefillah, because they were busy with hachanas and going to the mikveh and hispaitidus and all sorts of things. So the Gra basically said, good, it's wonderful to have kavana, but if you're not makayim, the mitzvah kahalacha, you're machriv, you're destroying things. In other words, kavana is something you add to your mitzvah, but without the maisa ha-mitzvah, it's garnished. So the Gra felt that there was a sakana in this hashkafa of emphasizing penimius, that people will pay less attention to the dikduke hamitzvahs. And this is true, like even today, a lot of people have the attitude, spiritual people have the attitude, the most important thing is, I'm a spiritual person, what's the difference, I understand the Shabbat is a day of rest, so what's the difference if I take out my pen and I sign my name? I have the concept of menucha. What, two letters is going to share my menucha? In other words, there's an attitude like, why do I have to keep all these pratim? Isn't the ikar my devekus in Hashem? So the Gra felt that attitude, and the fancy English word for that is antinomianism. Antinomianism means against laws, meaning a mystical temperament often rebels against technical details. Because the person says, the ikar is the devekus. My nafkamina, my tefillin is a quarter inch here, a quarter inch here, what difference? If I say Shema at 9:15 instead of 9:10, that's going to make a difference. In other words, so the Gra felt that panemius is important, but if you emphasize panemius, subjectivity, mood, how you feel, emotion, then that would result not only in a zilzal ha-taira, but even a zilzal of halacha lemaisa. And then the Gra was against, of course, leisus gaidadu, changing minhagim. And then we have to admit, although Baruch Hashem this changed, this did change largely, but we have to admit that in the early generations of Hasidus, there was some crazy people going around. There were crazy things. I'm talking about people who did somersaults during davening because they felt they wanted to escape their bodies. People who had kolos mishunos, they made noises, they got drunk. In other words, there were, again, I'm not saying this was the mainstream, but the Gra was familiar but with his own Re'iyah to this type of mishugas. In fact, the Baal HaTanya wrote a letter to one of the rebbes that was doing this stuff. He says, you are responsible for the Gra coming out against us. He says, the Baal HaTanya wrote, because you are doing crazy things. Right? So, now again, this was a minority. This was not Hasidus of the Baal Shem Tov, but there were such mishugam going around, and Memehla, the apostle, the movement. Yeah?
Considering the context that they were in, How could anyone justify missing the Mantia?
Well, it's very hard. And by the way, that lasted for many years. I mean, well, that even lasts today, by the way. Even today, on some level. There are some, I mean, some Hasidus that...
How many people, let's say, the Mantia,
yeah. No, I cannot tell you. I'm not willing to say that the Baal Shem Tov did it. I honestly don't know, and I'm not going to say the Baal Shem Tov did it. I'm not going to say the Magid did it. The Baal HaTanya, I can guarantee you, didn't do it, because the Baal HaTanya wrote the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, where he talks about all of these Zmanim, and he was a great Paisek that even the Mishnah Brura brings all the time. Right? Shulchan Aruch HaRav is Makubal by everybody as a great Paisek. But we can't deny that there are Hasidim and even Rebbes that miss Mantfila. How do they explain it? So they explain it this way. They explain it by saying, Me'ikir Hadin, if a person is not able to be Mechaven, Kidaboy, he is actually Pater from Tfila and Kriyishma. Now, Bizman Hazeh, we're not Seimich on that because we're not able to be Mechaven anyway, so otherwise we would never do it. But I think the argument is, if a Rebbe says, I'm able to be Mechaven if I do 5 hours of preparation, then the Ikar Adin, he tells us he's Pater Mitzvah Bizmana, because he's Pater until he reaches his Masav of Kabbalah. Now, is that a heter for every Tom, Dick, and Harry Chassid, or only for a Rebbe? That's a good Shaila. It could very well be. There might be heterim for Gedolim that are not for Ketanim. I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, I'll say this because you know this. I mean, the Amshin of a Rebbe in Bayit Hagan is considered to be an Adam Gadol. He's considered to be an Adam Gadol, a great man, big Talmud Chacham, and an Adam Gadol, and yet his Zmanim are totally crazy. You'd have to ask him. Maybe ask him. I can't. All I can say is what a real Gadol does, I can't judge. But I also can't see any justification for the rank and file to follow that particular Hanhaga. There are many Hanhagas that are only for Gedolim and not for everybody else. Yeah.
Because at the time, the Haredim at the time, were they like, because the Hasidut became big and Maskilim became big.
Yeah.
Were people put off by the Haredim, their Khalasanti? It was very.
Well, when you say Haredim, remember, Haredim is a bit of a modern word. They didn't call them Haredim in Vilna, but the Misnagdim they're called, the opponents. Yeah.
Yeah. Couldn't someone like encourage them at the time, maybe meet the Hasidim halfway?
So here's the thing.
Yeah.
So it's not just the Gra, by the way. The Gra didn't even start the Misnagdis. There were Haramim excommunications in Minsk and Brody, different cities. And one of the Haramim, the Gra himself, signed. Now this is a Cherim, this is a very strong thing. This is an excommunication. This says you're not allowed to marry into Hasidim, you're not allowed to go to their minyan, you're not allowed to eat from their Shechita, even, etc. You have to be Pirish from them, you cannot allow your children to marry. Right, this is Mamisha, marry their daughters. They said not to be star for a minion. There were different in Yanam like that. Very, very stark. Now, it is said, actually we know this, that the Hasidic movement, which was growing, was attracting a lot of people. In fact, one of Rav Chaim Volozhiner's relatives became a Hasid. And it's recorded that Rav Chaim Volozhiner could not talk him out of it. But he said, if you're going to become a chassid, I just want to ask you three things. Just three things. Be a chassid, but keep three things. He says, learn Gemara every day, daven bisman, and don't be mezalzel in gedolei Torah. He says, okay, you got to be a chassid, but just do these three things. Because remember, many chassidus, they looked at the Gemara like the villain, chas v'shalom, right? Now the Baal HaTanya was very, very zohir. The Baal HaTanya always, always, always spoke and wrote about the Gra in the highest kavod. But many Hasidim looked at the Gra, chas v'shalom, they were mezalzel in the Gra, because they said, who is he? And what the story is, and this is true, that the Hasidic movements, however it was defined, they actually sent the Baal HaTanya, Rav Shneur Zalman, to talk to the Gra and explain. Talk to the Gra. Why did they pick Rav Shneur Zalman? For a lot of reasons. Rav Shneur Zalman was the closest to a misnage that a chassid could be. Rav Shneur Zalman was highly intellectual. Rav Shneur Zalman was a bucky in Shas and Paiskin. Rav Shneur Zalman was not someone who did somersaults. Remember, he's the one who wrote the letter against the guy doing the somersaults and the like. So he was calm, he was rational, and of course he was a Litvish himself. He was a Litvish Hasidus. Chabad was a Litvish Hasidus initially, a very intellectual and learned Hasidus. So that, and he wrote the Rav Shulchan Aruch, which is a great sefer of halacha. So they figured if anybody could make the Gra see that Hasidim aren't so bad, it'll be Rav Shneur Zalman. So Rav Shneur Zalman went, and he went twice to Vilna. The Gra refused to see him. The Gra refused to see him now. Why the Gra refused to see him is still being debated. We don't know exactly. I mean, why didn't the Gra see him? But the emesis, I mean, again, from our superficial perspective, I can see a very good reason, because the Gra felt maybe Rav Shneur Zalman is not representative of all Hasidus. Right? Rav Shneur Zalman was a Lamdin and a Gadol B'Torah. But if the Gra sees him, that's going to give the stamp of approval on everything. And that's not emes, because everything is not like this. In other words, Hasidim sent him the best sample, so to speak. But if the Gra is machshir the best sample, that's going to be taken as a gili and everything else. So the Gra felt he didn't want to give a hechshir on it. Now, among Hasidim, Chabad likes to say, it's probably a little bit of a legend, but Chabad likes to say that the Gra did look through the door hole at the Baal HaTanya and says, he's a great, great, you know, he's a great tzaddik. Like, the Gra gave his approval from behind the door. And then Hasidim have other stories. They say that the Gra was going to see him, but his mother told him not to. Again, these are considered to be a bit of a zilzal, that the Gra just, his mother said not to see him because whatever. Yeah. The truth is he did leave. That's true. In other words, because the Baal HaTanya came, other people came, the Gra left town for a month. The Gra finally left Vilna. For a month, he felt it was a bittul Torah and the like. Now, the Brisker Rav Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik, gives a very simple reason why the Gra, I mean, it's a bit of a mudna reason. He says, the Gra didn't want to see the Baal HaTanya just because it was bittul Torah. What's that bittul Torah? He says, the Gra made himself available to answer Shilas and teach Torah, but he didn't make himself available just because somebody wanted to talk to schmooze with him. So, he felt, what am I? I'm just going to schmooze about Hasidus. He says, if you have a Shaila to ask me a Shaila. If you don't have a Shaila, I don't have to hear, you know. To me, this is a very sure Svara, because if the Gra signed the Chayim, there would certainly be a Svara to hear the other side. Yep. Say again? Actually not. Actually, some of the early Hasidic Sfarim are worse than the later Hasidic Sfarim. Noyelam Elimelech. Well, the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, which is the first sefer of Hasidus. Now he was a big Talmud Chacham, but he was very, very critical of Talmudei Chachamim. He was mevaza because he felt that they were Bali Gaiva and like. Now again, were some of those tainas correct? Yeah, I'm not saying they weren't correct. I mean, we saw Solange also later tainas. There was a lack of midos in certain inyanim. But still, the Gra felt overall to inculcate within Klal Yisrael a sense of bizoyan towards Talmidei Chachamim was a very, very bad thing. It's a bad thing. In fact, I'll tell you, even as a practical matter, it's a bad thing. You know, sometimes things happen in our world that aren't so good. And when you talk about it at the Shabbos table and your kids hear these things, putting aside halachas of Lashon Hara, you know, you have to understand that there's a certain damage that you're doing, because now they become cynical about Talmidei Chachamim. And the Gra said, listen, okay, there are tainus, there are tvias, but to write a sefer barabim that all chassidim read, all people read, that are mavaza Talmidei Chachamim as balei gaiva and this and that, he says, the Gra said, that was a big, big sakana for Klal Yisrael.
Were some of the big rabbis were doing that?
Yeah, they were. They were. Now again, I'm not even saying what they said was not true, but there was this. Again, as I mentioned, the one of the most famous svarim of Chassidus, a sefer that's learned, is the Teldis Yaakov Yosef, who was a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. He was not right. The Magid and the Baal HaTeldis were the two Iker Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov. And the Teldis Yaakov Yosef, who was a great Talmud Chacham, he was in fact a great Talmud Chacham, but a lot of his sefer is haranguing the midos of Lamdanim and the gaiva that they have and the fact that they look down at people and you know, so here, so you have like Amaratzim reading this book and they're going, no, this Rav is talking about gaiva, you know, I mean, what, you know, the Toelis is...
Yeah, good ones too, no?
Huh?
Yeah, good ones too.
No, of course.
No, of course.
That's what I'm saying. Again, I mean, Chas Hashem, I am not saying everything is bad in Chassidus. There was a lot that was good. The Abbas Yisrael, there were many, many things that were good. I'm just trying to explain why at the time the Gra had a certain hisnagdus to Chassidus. Now, the Gra was very stark. Remember, the Gra b'teva, and because of his learning, the Gra learned 22 hours a day. He only slept 2 hours, four increments of half hour. Right, so the Gra learned 22 hours a day. So the Gra was not Isaac in Sorchei Tzibur. Remember, the Gra was not the Rav of Vilna. The Gra was not on the basin of Vilna. The Gra was not even the Paisek of Vilna. The Gra was officially a private citizen. The Kehila paid him some money because they had a great honor just to have him there. That's how he had a little Parnassa, being the Gra, so to speak. But the Gra was not involved in things going on. But Chassidus, he was involved in this because he saw it as a sakana to Am Yisrael. I'm just explaining why he saw it as a sakana. Now, the Tzemach Tzedek is the grandson-in-law of the Baal HaTanya. He was the third Lubavitcher Rebbe. His name was also Rabbi Nachum Mendel, just like the last Lubavitcher Rebbe. And the Tzemach Tzedek was a great Gadol B'Toira in the middle of the 19th century, and he was Mekubal by the Litvashe Gedolim. The Tzemach Tzedek is reputed to have said that Chassidus owes the Gra a lot of Hakaras HaTayf. It says, we are grateful to the Gra's Cherem. Why are we grateful? Because without the Gra's Cherem, Chassidus might have spun out of control and become like a spiritual movement, like the Kabbalah Center or something. Because the Gra had such a hisnagdus to the excesses, that forced us to pull back into the center and be more medayek in mitzvahs, halacha, limud ha-Torah, ad kedei kach, that Chassidim today are certainly Isaac and Torah, like non-Chassidim, if not more so. So the Tzemach Tzedek says we're actually makir taif to the Gra for kind of putting the cherem to be sure that we don't go too far. In other words, he pulled us back. He pulled us back from the brink. This is what the Tzemach Tzedek says. Now, this is reported in the Makor Baruch. The Makor Baruch, fascinating, wonderful book, although it sometimes gets banned for various reasons. This was written by the Torah Tamima, who was the son of the Aruch HaShulchan, and the Aruch HaShulchan, and he says he heard this from his father. Now the Aruch HaShulchan knew this because the Aruch HaShulchan, who was a non-chassid, of course, actually got his smicha from the Tzemach Tzedek. Why did the Aruch HaShulchan get his smicha from the Tzemach Tzedek? It's an interesting story. The Aruch HaShulchan's first shteller was in a small town that was mainly Chabad, mainly Lubavitch. Now, Chabad towns would hire non-Chabad rabbanim, but only on the condition that it met with the approval of the Rebbe. So when the Aruch HaShulchan was a young Rav, he had to spend a month with the Tzemach Tzedek before he could get his job in that shteller. So he spent a whole month with the Tzemach Tzedek. And he told his son, the Torah Tumima tells us this, he told his son what a Goyim the Tzemach Tzedek was. And he says that although the Tzemach Tzedek wrote tens of thousands of pages of Chassidus, he says he never said a word of Chassidus to the Aruch HaShulchan. He says, if you're not a Chassid, if you don't like this stuff, I'm not going to tell you. He says he only spoke to the Aruch HaShulchan in Gemara and Halacha. Because he didn't like give him Chassidus or Kabbalah if he didn't want, he said. And he said that Tzemach Tzedek told him that Chassidim are Makir Toiv to the Gra, because that prevented us from going over the brink. Now this is what it says in the Makor Baruch. I am told that Chabad Chassidim do not believe this story. So, I don't know. I just don't know. They say it's not Shayach because they still feel that the Gra was Mavazi their Rebbe. They feel that the Gra not seeing the Balatanya was Mavazi the Balatanya. So they don't want to see it in a positive way. But the Torah Tumima is made that the Tzemach Tzedek actually told the Aruch HaShulchan that this was the case. Now, one thing you got to know is the following. I'm going to bring this back to Volozhin. Although the Gra was very militant here, unaccustomedly militant, Chayrim, and the like. By the time the Gra died and Volozhin was established, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, who was the Talmud Muvak of the Gra, he adopted all the Gra's hashkafas, had a very different attitude towards Chassidus, not in principle, but in implementation. For example, there were many Chassidim that were Talmidim of Volozhin that he took in. He encouraged them to keep their Chassidish minhagim, whether it's a gartel, whatever it might be. Now, you could say, and in fact, in his lifetime, there were no charamim anymore. People intermarried with Chassidus, people ate from the shechita, and the like. So, one of the issues is, what exactly is going on? Like, why was Rav Chaim Volozhiner so conciliatory towards Chassidus, when, in fact, they even say that he would sometimes even quote Sifrei Chassidus in a drasha. He would say a drasha from Sifrei Chassidus. And Rav Yitzchak of Volozhin, actually interesting, who was both attracted to Haskalah, but was also attracted to Chassidus, so maybe that is a kasha on what I said before. Because I said, if you're attracted to one, you won't be attracted to the other. Yitzchak of Volozhin was attracted to both, had a big Chassidus library. So there are two different answers you can give for this. One answer might be that Fakert, like the Aruch HaShulchan said, once the Graz Cherim forced Chassidus back to a greater adherence to halacha and learning, so Memela, now we could be Makabaldim. In other words, Fakert, the Graz Cherim accomplished that they could now be Nichnas back into Klal Yisrael. That's one Hesber. The other Hesber is that Rav Chaim Volozhiner held that although the Shita of the Graz is Avada Emes, but he felt that if you want to combat the negative tendencies, it's better to do so by being makarev than rather being merachek. Because when you're merachek, people just create their separate communities. When you're makarev, so they'll see the Torah, they'll adopt, they'll follow all of these ideas. However, you have to know, if you read the Nefesh HaChaim, and this is very important, because sometimes it's not just people who are dialoguing with each other. It's sometimes svarim are dialoguing with each other. In other words, sometimes a sefer is written as if it is to speak to another sefer, as it were, even though it doesn't even mention the other sefer. And the truth of the matter is the Nefesh HaChaim is in a dialogue with the Tanya. And a lot of the things the Nefesh HaChaim writes is to be chaylik on pratim that are in the Tanya. Because first of all, remember like this, Chassidus derived many of its ideas from Kabbalah. The Zohar and the Kisvei Ari, the importance of Panimius of Aveda, the importance of Simcha, the importance of Avos Yisrael, the importance of Achdus, all of these everyone agrees on, right, were based on the Zohar. Now, remember that one of the Gaon's concerns was that if you emphasize Panimius over Chitzanius, there'll be a zilzal in mitzvahs. So a lot of the Nefesh HaChaim uses the same Kabbalistic sources that Chassidus used to emphasize Kavana, And he uses the same makoros that emphasize the chashivas of Maisa. In other words, he's using the sources of Chassidus to combat what he saw as some of the sakanas in Chassidus. So even the emphasis Shardalit. Shardalit is the most famous part of the Nefesh HaChayim, which deals with the importance of Limud HaTorah. And remember, Chaim Volozhiner is the one that teaches, even if you're learning things that aren't Nogeil Lamaisa, even if you're learning Shor Shnaga Chazapara, you're learning about Ramais, right? You're learning about cheats and dishonest, right? This is a question Chassidus had. Why should I learn about Ganavim? Part of the argument is, why should I learn about people who lie and cheat and commit adultery and rape the 3-year-old girls? In other words, Chassidus actually, at one point actually took the position that that's Matameyu, Chas V'Shalom. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner shows in Shar Dalit how every ice of Torah is makasher you to Hashem. But you see what he's doing? He is using a lot of the makairus of Chassidus to address the Taina, but he does so very gently. He never mentions Chassidim by name, and when he mentions them, he always calls them Mevakshei Hashem. He says, there are Mevakshei Hashem who make a mistake. That's how he writes it. There's Mevakshei. So he acknowledges they're Mevakshei Hashem. They're looking for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they make a mistake. Sometimes he uses humor. He says that there are some Mevakshei Hashem where the idea of Zman Tefillah is so no longer on the radar for them that when it's time for Mincha, because the sun is setting, they say, well, let's see if it's Tzeis HaKochavim already. We can't daven Mincha till Tzeis HaKochavim, he says. And he gives an example of the idea of Pnimius and Chitzainius. He says, let's say a person wants to hear Shofar, or a person wants to take Lulav, a person wants to eat Matzah. And the ikar is to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim or the Emas Adin or whatever it is. But let's say it's Pesach and the person is famata, the person is exhausted. So the person says, if I have a Seder now, the first night of Pesach, it's going to be superficial, garnished, nothing's going to happen. I tell you what, I'll go to sleep early tonight. And tomorrow night, let's say in Eretz Yisrael, it's not Yom Tov anymore, I'm going to make the most gavaldige hisaristic Seder. Right? If the ikar is kavana, maybe that makes sense. But avada, it doesn't make sense because the second night there's no mitzvah anymore. Now, I once, just to show you how life imitates art, I once was giving this mashal about the absurdity of making a seder after Pesach because you can have more kavana. So I was talking to a non-religious audience. So a woman actually said, oh yeah, that's what we did last year. You know, we couldn't get the family together, so we decided to make the Seder a week later. So this is what Rav Chaim Volozhiner said is the taitzah of this. See? So you have to know that the Nefesh HaChaim would be very kedai if you ever have the time in the Yishuv Hadas. I mean, to take a sefer like the Tanya, which is a wonderful sefer. Tanya is a wonderful, wonderful, beautiful sefer. And learn Nefesh HaChaim, and you'll see a lot of agreement. I'm not saying every line is a machlokes, but you'll also see where Rav Chaim Volozhiner is bedafka emphasizing in the Kuda, see, Tanya was first. Because the Bala Tanya said something here, Nefesh HaChaim is saying something there, even though he doesn't refer to the Tanya, but he's often, because the Tanya was the best, clearest statement of the philosophy of Chassidus, and therefore the Nefesh HaChaim was written to give the Litvisher response, as it were, to the Bala Tanya. Yeah.
How's the example of celebrating the Seder on the next day any different from Tefillah after Zman?
Well, it is very similar. All I'm saying is that Tefillah has potentially a justification because the Halacha itself says if you're not able to have Kavana, you're Pater. So one could argue in Tefillah that if I'm not yet in a Matzav of Kavana, the Rabbanan Pater me. Now that's not true for Seder. In other words, Tefillah may have special peturim.
But then Nadav and that Tefillah 24 hours later?
Well, how do you do that? So then you could say Tefillah Nadav. In other words, theoretically you can construct a halachic mechanism that allows it because you can say, I'm Patur from Shachris because I can't have Kavana. How can I dive in Shachris at midnight? The answer is, I'll give it as a Tefillah Nadav, right? So at least there's a mechanism. You don't have that mechanism for, of course, Even that doesn't work for Shabbos because you don't have an adab on Shabbos. Okay, I mean, but I'm saying at least there's a structure there which you're not going to have to say, I'm patur from matzah because I can't have kavana. There's no such mitzvah. So the point basically is that the big opposition to Hasidus was only around 50 years. Once we get to Rav Chaim Volozhin, there was already much more shalom. The real enemies of Hasidus were not the Misnagdim anymore. The real enemies of the Hasidus were the Maskilim. The Maskilim, as I said before, absolutely hated. They hated Hasidim with a bitterness and a passion because they saw Hasidim as destroying just when they're getting the Jews to be modern. Because, you know, they could look at Volozhin as a stepping stone to Haskalah. All right, we got these intellectual guys learning Gemara. All right, so Gemara will move them to political science.
Not that different than today.
Yeah. But Hasidim, old-fashioned, primitive. So they hate. I mean, really, the hatred of Haskalah to Hasidim was
today between the intellectual from and
they were like, you know, the Middle Ages or whatever it would be. Okay. What kind of cats is that right? Okay. So anyway, the point I want to make is that B'teva Rav Chaim Volozhiner was a very very moderate person. He was not a kanoi B'teva. And in Nefesh HaChaim, he addressed the hashkafa of the Gra. In other words, but the way he implemented it was not through a cherem or a harchaka, but he through being makar of them and through disseminating his philosophy throughout the yeshiva world, in which Hasidim also came over. I mean, the Brisker Rav, for example, much later, the Brisker Rav was obviously a stark misnagid. Had talmidim, very close talmidim who were Hasidim, and today, of course, also. And now, the truth is, today the whole separation of Hasidim and Misnagdim is not very stark. I mean, in all yeshivas, people learn Svarim like Svas Emes, like Rav Tzadok, and in a Hasidish yeshiva, you learn the Ktzais and the Nesivas. I mean, there are differences, obviously, but you know the differences are not so marked. I'll just end with this story they tell about Hasidim and Misnagdim. I may have told you this. I apologize if I'm repeating. They tell the story about a shver that had two sons-in-law that he agreed to support because they were learning in Kailel. Both of them were Talmidei Chachamim, but he could only afford to give each one meal a day. So one guy, he agreed to give a milchik meal every day with cheese and blintzes, and the other guy, he agreed to give him a fleishik meal with steak, whatever it is. So the sons-in-law were always arguing who's more chashev, because milchik can be expensive. Anyway, the guy became poor. He was yared min chasav, so he couldn't afford fleishiks or milchiks. He could only get potatoes. But one guy got potatoes in the milchik pot, and one guy got potatoes in the fleishik pot. So they were still arguing, who was more chasav? My potatoes are in the milchik pot, my potatoes in the fleishik pot. So the shver said, listen, when you were eating real meat, and you were eating real blintzes, so it's shayach machlekes. When you're eating potatoes that have slightly different flavors, because of flavor milk, but it's all potatoes. So some want to say, this is really the mashal, there was a time in which Hasidus was a radically different shita. And Misnagdim were a radically different shita. It's Shayach Machlokas. Now it's all potatoes, basically. In other words, the Litvisha world has a Hasidisha taste, and the Hasidisha world has a Litvisha taste. As it were, things are not really that different. Now, there are differences, but a lot of those differences are superficial. They're not so ideological. I mean, obviously, Ger, if you walk to Mea Sharim, right, there are riots going on there. I mean, there are the Sikrikan, you know, there are things going on, but these are not Hashkafe in Yanim. These are not Tyridika Machleksim. These are political issues, and that, unfortunately, we still have in Klal Yisrael. But in terms of ideology, if you were to ask, you know, how is the shita of Ger different than the shita of the Mir Yeshiva? You know, it's lav dafka. I'm not saying there's no difference. It's lav dafka. You're going to have fundamentally different hashkafas about things. So today, the notion of Hasidim and Misnagdim as two very different hashkafas of life, putting aside political problems, which are serious, but nothing to do with shitas per se. It's not such a big, you know, we're all kind of an amalgamation of all of these, in Yanni. Okay? Alright, so we'll continue next week with the Volozhiner Yeshiva. And in particular, Rav Chaim was succeeded by Rav Yitzchak Volozhiner. Rav Yitzchak Volozhiner was succeeded by the person who was the Rosh Yeshiva for the longest period, of the Lashon's existence, and that is the Nitziv. And the Nitziv's assistant Rosh Yeshiva was quite eminent, none other than Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik's first career before he became the Rav of Brisk was he was the junior Rosh Yeshiva in Volozhin. It is said about the Nitziv, although I don't know the mucker of this, I just heard the speaker say it, that the Nitziv was perhaps the last Gadol, I'm not sure this means exactly, who knew Kol HaTaira Kula. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but that in other words, it wasn't just Shas, Bavli, Yushalmi, you know, it was like everything. It was Zohar, in other words, he knew Kol HaTaira Kula. So we'll talk about the Nitziv. Okay. Kol Tov.
That was a long one.